Welcome to the Wealth Matters Podcast, where investors come together to better understand how to build passive cash flow and create generational wealth without all the confusing mumbo jumbo. Here's your host and co-author of Amazon number one bestseller, Alpesh Pamar.
Welcome to Wealth Matters Podcast. I am going to talk to a CEO of Philanthro Investors. His name is Sky Logan, not the Logan from Wolverine, but he has been in business from the age of 12. Since that young age, with an overriding purpose to help others, he has a long history of volunteer and humanitarian work. Before his successful career in the real estate sector, Sky was instrumental in developing and managing a one-of-its-kind, multi-location, medically-assisted, holistic drug and alcohol detox and rehab program. It seems we are going to have fun with this thing. So welcome, Sky.
Yeah, Alpesh, thank you very much. I try to give as much mouthful as possible. So
yeah, it was really hard, but that's because, we talk a lot about real estate here on my show. We are all about alternative investment. So we will talk about those, detox and rehab program facilities.
Yeah, great. Yeah, alt investments can be really fun. So yeah, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So we start with this particular question with everyone so that, we get started on a lighter note. Tell us something interesting or funny about yourself.
Interesting or funny? Oh, man. We can have a good time. We have some drinks here and talk about funny. But I'm an Ozark boy at heart. I was raised in the Ozarks in Northwest Arkansas, Beaver Lake area, anyone that's been in the War Eagle area, et cetera. So I was an honorary Duke boy, so to speak.
Oh, yeah.
But a small town area. So everyone, the police, everyone knew you. So,
right.
which is great. So anytime I would get pulled over or get into trouble, I knew, Mr. Clippinger, I knew all the guys. So, and they knew where to take me. So that was always fun. I really enjoyed growing up, and me and a buddy decided at 17 to move to California. And he looked over at me and said, "Hey, dude, let's move to Cali." And I was thinking of Van Halen songs and all the rest of the 80 rockers, talking about California girls. So I'm like, thought for literally 30 seconds and said, "Just do it, man." Yeah. So, yeah. And so within about four or seven days, I think it was, we were gone just as boys. So, but I enjoyed growing up with a lot of space. There was one, it was the 80s. But two, there's a lot less barriers. It wasn't urban. It was, my mom, I was gone first thing in the morning till late at night. And that was nice to grow up because it really helped train me with responsibility, helped train me with freedoms and things like that. Even though she was very hard, there's definitely rules that I had to follow. So I learned that. But it was great to go from that to Huntington Beach, Surf City, USA.
Right.
Teenage boy.
So you are in the Southern Cal.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So, and you mentioned that you come from real estate world. And as I said, we want to talk about that. So before we get started with that, what was your first investment and how did it work out for you?
Yeah, well, I definitely enjoy talking about real estate, and I'm definitely involved now with our portfolio companies and things like that in real estate. But my first investment wasn't in real estate. I've kind of always been a business investor, taking over, dropping into businesses as partners and scaling them, and which led me to real estate for sure, buying real estate, owning it, flipping it, renting it, that kind of thing, like all the rest of us do. But I've not ever scaled my own personal real estate portfolio at all, to be honest with you. It's always been through a business or some other vehicle and a team. I'm going to put the team there and I'm going to scale that good, 40, 50, 60, 700 properties or wherever I'm heading. And that's a lot more scalable. I just like taking over and creating the business. To be honest, I have a good time with that.
Got it. So what was your first then investment in a business? Do you remember?
Yeah, in the business. And I was 19 years old and became a partner and a principal in a tech business. down in San Diego, California. I did really well with that. That was down in La Jolla area. Yeah. And yeah, you know La Jolla? Yeah, I was on La Jolla Shores. And so had a great time with that. And then up on the hill, overlooking PB and OB and stuff. So that was that's really another tough view. Yeah. But did really well with that. Took that from just a one-man show up operating out of a garage to a 2,000 whatever it was square foot facility with employees and all that stuff. And we actually were one of the only West Coast resellers of at that time, Toshiba and Compaq laptops. You know, I would pull up with these big trucks and they would unload pallets with these forklifts and we would resell. I'd drive up to Van Nuys and all the way across the West Coast reselling. And so we did a lot of that, we purchased a lot of damaged hardware, CompuServe, just different companies.
Right.
Because they would, yeah, if they had the tiniest ding in a box or something, they wouldn't resell it. So they would put them on a list and then we would buy them, we'd fix it up. And then it was a huge profit margin. So, I did that for quite a while. Partnership ended. I learned a lot from that on partnerships, for sure. Whenever they can be corrosive and, you know, turn out bad. But we split our ways. I did really well with that. And for the next 13 years, I volunteered pretty much just that whole time. Because that's what I wanted to do. Because, yeah, I've made money throughout my life fairly easily. I didn't have much attention on that, but I definitely have always had attention on giving back and having fun with that and helping, you know.
Oh, that's amazing. So let's talk about, so you started with business. When did you get into real estate and how did you end up with a detox and rehab program facility?
Yeah. Okay, great. So the detox, so I have a bit of a history back in my party days. And so I wanted to get back in the drug rehab, detox and rehab area for sure. Cause that almost turned out pretty bad for me in my path. Save that story for a different time, but I realized that the area, I always like to challenge society. I always like to challenge the way things are. And I was looking at the detox program and we actually had a friend of a family member that needed a kid, and they had been sent to a couple detoxes, but they left on more medications than they originally went with.
Wow.
So we started looking and pulling the string and pulling that data, looking at the data analytics. And we realized that people are put on maintenance programs and they're left with more and more and more and more medications. So we actually started surveying and looking for facilities that would actually do that, actually completely take someone off drugs, alcohol, you know, take them off alcohol without leaving them on some other opiate or some other, et cetera,
right.
You know, some other benzo. So they hardly ever existed back in this time period, the early, early 2000s. So this family needed help and we started discovering others that needed help badly. And so we immediately paired up with a doctor. So anyways, long story short, we built that up to three facilities at three doctors and utilized acupuncture and all kinds of holistic medicine, vitamin IV therapy and things, and formulated, you know, different vitamin IV formulations for either opiates or benzos, or, you know, you have to have different formulations for different ones. And did really, really well with that, which was a fantastic journey. And literally I've saved many of hundreds of lives with that, literally, like even directly with my hands, it literally in front of me have saved someone's life. So it's talk about giving back. There's nothing better than, still today, I have family that will reach out to me, you know, thanking me for returning my wife and mom to my mother, to my kids kind of communication, and which still I love, you know? So yeah. So that's with that, the detox facility. And so that went really well. And with the real estate industry, I wasn't until quite a bit later, actually. And to be honest, in 2019, actually, when I started taking on I went into equity, one of our portfolio companies, actually Equity and Help. And I helped put in the entire sales and investment lines on that and built that up to about 700 homes at that time. And took it to a two-time Inc. 500 company. At one time, 2021, I think, That was actually number three across the nation in real estate, the fastest growing company. So we were scaling like crazy. So we did really well with that, and just had a good time. We were just selling. We were giving home ownership to needy families because there's a market that's overlooked. Everyone goes luxury. You know, I've helped start a mortgage brokerage. I've been a realtor. I've done a lot of stuff. I had a digital marketing company for real estate. I've done all kinds of aspects of real estate, but we would always overlook, you know, the you always want to go luxury market, either whether it's Laguna Beach where I lived, all of Orange County or San Diego, or in Indian Rocks or Clearwater or St. Petersburg in Florida. Everyone loves that gorgeous big, you know, 2 million. So there's this huge market that's ignored, and it's just becoming a huge rental market, and it's just going, and people are losing their homes because they can't even keep up with the rental prices. So we like to challenge what's being done. So there's this huge market that was being overlooked because no one wants to do that amount of work. Cause that business model, you just sell so many units just to make even the slightest bit of margin, which we're like, yeah, we're going to do the work because it's needed. So that's what we do. We just provide housing for needy families, and that's going fantastic. So
yes, I can tell. I mean, talking to you, of course, you come from that volunteer mindset, you know, helping others. And that's well and good. That's amazing. That's what I love to do as well. You know, we invest in mobile home parks or senior housing because we want to take care of those needy people, right?
Nice.
But how do you actually make money while changing the world?
Yeah, with just real estate or with all the other portfolio companies we have?
With real estate and other stuff as well.
And others, yeah. Well, definitely less margins because to be honest, some of your higher risk. One thing we're definitely not going to do, I'm not going to like make money off the backs of others. You know, what we want to do is, I'm not into necessarily charity. I've done charity work. I've done like free humanitarian work, which is fantastic. I've done lots of disaster relief after hurricanes in Puerto Rico and in Bahamas and Texas. And, you know, you go to Oklahoma City bombings and just do help cleanups and stuff like that. But charity never really solves the matter. You know, it never really, you can just give someone charity, but they're never actually getting themselves out of the hole. They're getting used to that programming. And I intentionally did that for quite a while, and I would watch what would happen, and the person would never dig themselves out. So it's a different thing. You have to educate. So it's a hand up. I like the term philanthropy much more than, you know, just charity, of course, because philanthropy is giving a guy a hand up, you know, and educate him and train him. And, you know, like, you know, the good book says, you know, you can either just give a man a fish and he eats for one day, or you teach him how to fish. Right.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So with that mindset, it's like, good, how do I leverage all the money being made out there, or the capital being deployed in different areas? And so the problem set is, good, there's so much money out there being deployed for all these other matters. How do I utilize that, leverage that towards solving global issues? So that's the problem set. So that's our goal, what I'm always doing. So I'm wanting to create or partner with or just acquire innovative companies that are doing that in different areas. And so the point is, like, if you can invest in my real estate company and you're helping needy families, first time homeowners get, you know, have that thrill, that excitement, and that of having and owning a home. And I gave you a 12% return. Like, the last quarter average cap rate on returns was 12.35%. across the portfolio, right? So let's just call it 12. If I can generate, you know, 12% return on your investment returns, and it's helping these families that have never, ever owned a home, to me, that's a no-brainer. It's a win-win.
Right.
Like, who wouldn't do that? You know, so my goal is to beat an average return in that particular niche or that market. If I can, maybe not do it all the time, but if I can get close to it or even beat it, and it's providing some kind of help on the planet, cleaning up plastics or cleaning up, you know, carbon reduction, environmental or social or whatever the enterprise is going to be, it's a win-win, because I can bring in more capital. Obviously, investors will stick with me forever.
Well, that's amazing. So Is that the difference between philanthro investing and traditional investing?
That is exactly. So what we want to do, obviously the term in the past many years is coming around more and more of ESG and impact investing, you know, catalytic investments, you know, philanthro investing, things like this is our coined term. And that is what it is. You're simply going to get a return for your investors or a term for, you know, return for us. That's not going to be extreme. It's not going to be, you're not going to make, you know, 60% returns on your monies and things like that, because we are trying to change the world, but it's going to be just, it's going to be sufficient enough to keep it, the fund growing and the investors being paid and more capital comes in. Because if I underpay an investor, I'm never going to get money. I'm never going to solve that global issue. So if I can increase the return up to a certain point where investors will be happy and more investments will come, then I'm actually solving that issue, you know? So there's that trying to figure out the big data on it, like exactly where's that happy point on that particular investment.
Right. No, that makes sense. So yeah. Just hearing about everything you have done so far, it's amazing. Why should one step up, you know, our level of consciousness of the investment portfolio?
Well, we are one world, you know, you and I, first time we've met, but I immediately consider you a brother, you know, the synergy. As soon as you and I said that first hello, I just immediately connected with you and realized, dude, I am helping somehow, some way. What definitely keeps me smiling even more than anything, I'm just kind of a quiet helper. I actually don't mind if I'm ever, fame is not my deal, all this other stuff. But if I imagine one day that your family, your kids, your great grandkids somehow, some way are going to benefit, it's that butterfly effect, right?
Yes.
Someday Alpesh's kids or his grandkids are going to benefit from the work that I'm doing, right? And that's why I do say that, you know, that what I want to do is raise the responsibility level. I'm going to talk to investors, you know, I'm like, good, fine. You got your blue chip stocks, you got your stuff you're doing, you got your Bitcoin, your currency, you're doing whatever. You know, I'm not saying use your whole portfolio, but if you started utilizing some pie, some percentage of your portfolio, still getting a return, but applying it to something more than just Coca-Cola or more than just Xerox or Tesla or SpaceX or whatever it is, just utilize sequential, you know, take a piece of that and apply it. You can direct it to something that you have a passion for, whether it's education, solving poverty, human trafficking, right? All the partners, you know, we want to start pumping some money and start creating some of these systems that horrible, horrible. And I definitely don't want to get started in that, but
no.
Yeah, all that scene and education with kids and all the African projects that are being worked on. Digging wells in Africa. You know, we open up a school and a mission in Africa and Tanzania last year. There's so much work that people have. And what's great, Alpesh, is, man, people just come to me. I have more business than I can even imagine because so many people, and it's starting to go that way. There's people are starting to realize, dude, we actually need to take care of this planet. We need to, like, we need to fix some things. It's not going, it's going downhill. If you just, you want to plot that data, look at it in 10-year, 50-year, 100-year view. Good. You know, the great Pacific garbage patch is growing 10x every decade.
Yes.
There's 6 pounds of plastic for every 1 pound of plankton in that patch. So if you just look at that growth, 10x every decade, good. What are my great grandkids going to be swimming in?
Yeah.
So I have to act like now in order to fix that. So that's raising that awareness level. Good. Still make your money, but take a piece of it or do something. Still make your return, but apply it to something that you love to do, some hard work, you know?
I agree, man. And I'm totally, I don't know if you watched the movie Sound of Freedom, right?
So I haven't yet. It's not down here in Puerto Rico.
It's a great movie all about human trafficking, child trafficking. And I was reading about it, and it's the largest business in the world.
Yep.
Period. Human. Yeah, no, no corporation makes more money than this whole syndicate of human trafficking slash sex trafficking. So I was just amazed, and I was ashamed as well that we got to do something about it. And again, you know, this podcast is not about it, but it was eye-opening.
Absolutely. And it's something I've been involved with for quite a while. So between the either human trafficking for whatever the purpose is, whether sex trafficking or organ trafficking or all this, and you start looking at it, it'll break your heart. Yes. It'll definitely. Tim's done some fabulous work. I've known about him under an Underground Railroad for.
Yes,
for
that's what I'm involved with, Underground Railroad. Exactly. It's great.
For quite a few years. And a lot of people don't know this. This is Tampa is actually the human trafficking capital of the U.S.
Oh, wow.
Can you believe that? All the ports in and out and all the just
that
the access.
Makes sense.
Yeah, that makes absolutely.
Sense. Wow, that's amazing. So let's talk about, because, you know, I totally understand philanthro investing, and that's great. But a lot of my investors are always also looking to invest, make money. And of course, in the end, we also want to help. But do any of your investments help with tax write-offs?
Yeah. I'm actually just about to wrap up one of our new funds that's going to be 100% tax write-off for the investment. And then you're able to grant or direct the grants to the particular foundation or investment, and it just grows. And so in that case, you obviously are not going to get any return from that because it is 100% tax write-off, but it's being set up in a way that good. If you're good, whatever your write-off is, or for institutions, if they're good, it's $100,000 write-off. Great. Invest $100,000, use your write-off, and it can go towards something good as opposed to whatever CIA programs or whatever you don't support.
And what kind of grants are those?
Well, for any of our portfolio companies that we're building, and we'll be scaling that as well. I'm building up the whole team for the partnerships. I have a decent stack of people who are wanting to partner with philanthro investors because, I am building it to be, I like to tell people, and I'm serious about it. It's, I'm building a $1 billion global movement, and I intend on within 3 to 5 year time period, have a $1 billion valuation will be set. So we'll have more and more partners, 20, 30, 40, 50, funds and investments that people can just choose from, and they can just grow and make returns on it. So there'll still be the direct investment where they can get the returns, or they'll be able to opt into, they need that tax write-off, right? So yeah. And all of our companies are different phases. Our water company has a, pre-IPO situation opportunity happening at the moment. If anyone's interested in that, they definitely need to reach out because that'll go by the wayside kind of quickly, but that's going really well. Because part of my goal is if my partners or the companies we're directing are going to go public, then we have that happening. Large exits. We have some of our companies do dividends, passive return, if that's what someone's looking for. A lot of different things there.
So do you have any investment where there is passive return as well as some tax write-offs?
As well as not right now. No.
Okay.
No. You're going to get some cash in your hand, or you're not getting a tax return, or it's one of the others kind of deal.
Okay.
Because
we do both. So our mobile home parks or senior housing facilities, we do cost segregation. So most of the time, investors put, let's say, $50,000. The first year they get about 70% of write-off, and of course they also start getting returns as well, the preferred returns in the first year itself. And that's why I was asking a lot of my investors look for those kind of opportunities.
Nicely set up.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. In this current environment, where are you investing?
PI companies, all the philanthro investing companies at this point, because they're getting return on making money, or there's going to be massive exits happening or whatever. So I want to invest in the companies and the motion that I'm pushing forward for sure.
Got it. And are you seeing a recession or downturn in the near future?
No, there's always money to be made. I'm a huge Jim Rohn fan, and others, it happens, it's the seasons of life. Things go up, things go down. That's just kind of how things are going to be. So if it does slightly go down, well, great. That's a great opportunity. I have setups you make money during that period.
Yes.
You make money at lower, mid, at the peaks, you just got a smart businessman will have different investments in areas that will maximize returns and no matter what the market's doing.
I agree. Yeah, no, this is great. Thank you so much for sharing all these golden nuggets. Are you ready for fire round?
Uh-oh, you got me scared.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna be.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's get started. Would you be changing business or investment strategy because of the current environment?
No, not at all. If anything else, I'm gonna scale it even faster.
Favorite nonfiction book, maybe a Jim Rohn book.
Definitely. I have a huge list of favorites. I'm usually never like a top favorite. You know, everyone's got the classics, Think and Grow Rich, etc. I like The Law of Success and 16 Lessons by Napoleon Hill or Outwitting the Devil.
Outwitting the Devil, great book.
Yeah, great book.
Any tool or website you recommend or you cannot live without?
Oh, I can't live with, well, right now in this, what's happening now, ChatGPT and Claude.
Yep. Yeah, I heard they are in trouble, though. We'll see if they'll survive.
So there's that, and obviously a CRM and email programs, of course. These are things my business would crash without a good CRM, you know.
Any advice for investors?
Really start looking at where your investments, what are you making money on? You know, if it's in a big fund or whatever, I think people really need to look at what you're making money on, because you'd be surprised. I've done this drill with people. Most people, high, huge percentage, have no idea what it's actually going towards quite often. And those that might kind of do, they just need to start looking at it. It's a fun drill. Get people just to realize, you know.
So this is the last question, and it is a stupid question for you. I ask every guest, how do you give back?
Oh, I don't, man. I don't think, I like to watch out for number one, man. Numero uno, right? Yeah, it is silly for me because that is everything and anything that I do in my life. So my wife and I, we've got 6 kids together. I've got a lot of stuff happening there. I've got all my companies. Everything I do is I measure a man and his worth to others.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah.
How can my listeners reach out to you?
Best way, go to pi.today. Pi is for, P is in Paul, of course, for philanthro investors. So pi.today. There you go. And that's your journey will start.
Okay. Thank you so much, Kai, for your time today.
Alpesh, you're very welcome, man. It was super fun.
Same here.
Thanks for listening to the Wealth Matters podcast. If you enjoyed it, please leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes so others can enjoy the show too. Have a great week and happy investing.